This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour three as we roll along here on your Friday. And a good Friday it is. We're heading into the three-day weekend. You know what it means on Monday, of course. We've got the hot dog eating contest. Yeah, I know some of you are disgusted by it. Don't get me wrong. But it's an American tradition of taking a hot dog and trying to stuff it in your face as many times as possible during a 10-minute period. Joey Chestnut is the favorite. He is always the favorite. But you never know. Maybe one of these years something happens to Joey Chestnut. Maybe he sends one back, if you know what I mean. And he's disqualified and somebody else takes the mustard-colored belt. But in all seriousness, this is one of those events where you may not like it. You may be disgusted by it, and I know plenty of people are. I've done this talk radio show business forever, and I'm telling you, every year that we've done anything with the hot dog eating contest, I get people going, oh, that's gross, why do you give it attention? And then other people going, I love it, I watch it every year. But I have to give respect to the people that run it. And Coney Island is a fantastic place for it. This has grown dramatically. A lot of the help of the ESPN hype. At one point, they had Paul Page doing the play-by-play of this. Paul Page is a legendary motorsports broadcaster, one of the voice of the Indy 500. They got him to do it. He was magnificent. He treated it as if it was a major sport event. So it added to the sort of legend of this as it was growing and growing. And then more people were getting into it. It was on TV. It started becoming kind of legendary. And next thing you know, look at the amount of people that go to Coney Island just for this on 4th of July. It's boiling hot. The sun is out. But the hot dog eating contest continues. I know it's silly and whatnot, but it's still something on the sports calendar. What else is on the sports calendar? NBA free agency. That was on yesterday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. It was rolling along, and then there was the big news that Kevin Durant wanted out of Brooklyn 3 years after he got there. He was supposed to take that team to the promised land, not only once, but a number of times, and they never did that. The Kyrie Irving situation was just too messy. Coming up later in the show, we're going to talk to Lee Ellis of The Athletic, our good friend who helps us talk about NBA issues. This is a big one. We'll also get back into a little bit of college football, another angle to look at the USC-UCLA defection of the Pac-12. But I also want to get into Brittany Griner, who's going to have her court appearance today, her trial today in Russia. Is she ever going to be coming home? We'll talk about that coming up as well. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up at 40 past the hour, we're going to talk to Lee Ellis. You know, Lee, he's our basketball guy from The Athletic, host of No Dunks podcast, to get his take on free agency. But yesterday, I mean, Kevin Durant's news really kind of overshadowed a lot of the NBA free agency yesterday. Because it was, Kevin Durant wants to leave Brooklyn. So we'll get to that coming up in just a couple of minutes. But I want to get to this Brittany Griner story. Because Brittany Griner's court appearance is going to be today. I guess trial is going to be today in Russia. And I don't know if she's going to be coming home anytime soon. But before we do that, when you discover a new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay at Total Wine & More, you'll discover a whole lot more, like the friendly smile of an expert guide ready to help you find that perfect bottle and the confidence of knowing that you found something special. So explore the wondrous selection and totally low prices at TotalWine.com. Well, you find what you love and love what you find. Drink responsibly. Be 21. All right, so if you're not as familiar with this story, and I'll be honest, I heard about this, but I didn't really get into the nitty-gritty details of it. And then it started to pop that, yeah, she's in some trouble. Like, she's going to be in court. She's facing 10 years. About a week before Russia invaded Ukraine, she arrived in Moscow and was getting ready to join a Russian team. And on her possession was a vape pen that had cannabis oil in it. And that's illegal. It was a cannabis possession. And she was arrested, and she's been waiting on trial, and the United States government can't seem to get her out. So she's a two-time gold medal winner for the United States, plays for the Phoenix Mercury, and she could face up to 10 years in prison if convicted. Now, I know some of you are like, well, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but in Russia, it's a big deal. And think about this. We're not exactly on good terms with the Soviet Union. Now, the Russia, I said Soviet Union. It's not Soviet Union anymore. Russia is, you know, enough to say, hey, what can we do here? So she's going to have her court hearing, and it's they're going to extend her detention to December 20th. I don't know, Ron, if she's coming back. I don't know if she's going to get out of this. I don't know if there's anything the United States government can do to help her.
Nope.
Come home. I just don't think so.
I mean, unless you send in Tom Cruise.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. And I did not know this. I kind of suspected it, but I didn't know for sure. Even if she's acquitted of this, you can have acquittals reversed. So
again, it's not American law.
Right, exactly.
That's the big thing. I mean, you, for all of you out there, when you go to another country, make sure you know, just know the basic rules.
You better know what the deal is. Look, I'm sorry. I'm sympathy for her, but and we in this country we may go cannabis oil in a vape pen. What are they kidding? It's
who cares?
Yeah, but it's not. That's not over there.
No, I mean, in fact, we bring it up all the time with a member. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, the kid who got caned.
Right. Remember that in the 90s? It was a big story about a kid who, I forget what he did, defaced some property or
spit? I don't remember either. I don't remember. Something seeming like harmless.
Right. So what happened was, if you don't remember the story, it was in Singapore and he was sentenced to be caned, which is, you know, hit with a stick. And it was going to leave welts and marks, and it was basically torture. And we went crazy and begging Bill Clinton to go get him and make phone calls, make promises to bring him home. And it didn't work, and he got caned. He got caned, and he got sent home, and that was it. And that was it. And it happens a lot. So there's an idea of a prisoner exchange, which is weird, right? I mean, like... But she is like it. I know it doesn't sound much, but she is. She could face 10 years for this. And one of the it doesn't look like they'll be working out. But one of the names that has been brought up as a possible prisoner exchange is a guy by the name of Viktor Bout, who is nicknamed the Merchant of Death because he's a Russian arms dealer.
Oh, that sounds like somebody you want to let on the streets.
Yeah. So imagine I'm sorry, we may love Brittany Griner. But the reality of it is, can you imagine in this country if we were having a conversation about whether or not Brittany Griner coming back to play in the WNBA or a Russian's arm dealer nicknamed the Merchant of Death who is serving a 25-year sentence on conspiracy to kill U.S. citizens and provide aid to terrorist organizations is swapped for her?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to go over very well.
I mean, does she have what's her nickname?
Yeah,
she has to have one, right?
Right, what is it? Yeah.
WNBA for a couple of years.
I know it isn't the Merchant of Death. Right? So I started thinking, is there a Russian hockey player that we have on like a jaywalking charge somewhere that we can throw it throw back at Russia? This is ridiculous. But I don't think she's coming home. I'm sorry. I know it sounds weird. It feels like the punishment doesn't fit the crime, but I don't think she's coming home. And so her wife is saying, telling the government, like Joe Biden and, you know, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, can you guys do something about this? But their hands are a bit tied. It's not like Putin's going to pick up the phone and go, we have Brittany Griner? That's outrageous. Let me send her home right away.
Sorry, guys.
I'll give her my own jet. Well, I apologize. It isn't like he's going to be doing that.
No, because in fact, I mean, if he picks up the phone, the first words out of his mouth are going to be something to the effect of stop sending money to Ukraine.
Right, exactly.
Trying to overtake them. You're getting in my way.
Right, exactly. So this is not a very good time for the United States to be trying to beg Russia and the Russian government to send Brittany Griner home with a slap on the wrist for bringing cannabis oil into their country.
Listen, they did, and they said, well... All right, we'll let her go for the Merchant of Death.
Right, right.
And, you know, that's it. There wasn't a, you know, what about if you add Brittany Griner and this? You know, we can't have a three-team trade like
right,
you do in
right.
the NBA or something.
Now,
Russia's not picking up the phone with India going, hey, do you got someone that we want and, you know, we can do this swap and...
How about we give them an IOU gift certificate?
Right.
Like, you can turn this in one time for any Russian prisoner we have, regardless of crime.
Yeah, Merchant of Death, I mean, you can turn this in 20 years down the road. How about that?
Merchant of Death, we got to keep for a while, but here's an IOU that you can use on future convictions in our country.
Yeah,
for
the next
citizens.
One.
Yeah, the next one. Now, some have suggested there's a guy by the name of Paul Whelan. I'm taking this out of the New York Post. A former Marine, and he's serving a 16-year sentence over there on espionage charges that the United States has said he was set up. So people are saying, well, if you want to do the Merchant of Death, Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan, who's been charged with espionage. Where in – I don't know where she – how uncomfortable she's going to feel being in all of this, right?
Does Russia go, okay, you know, we'll give you these two for the Merchant of Death and some cash considerations?
Right, exactly. All of a sudden, it's like, what's happening here?
You say IOU. I say draft pick.
Right, draft pick. Yeah, exactly. Brittany Griner is going to be, imagine that, it's forever linked to the Merchant of Death and a guy charged with spying. Golly.
And a player to be named later.
Oh my! I know. Seriously, in all seriousness, I don't think she's coming back.
I don't either.
I think they're going to convict her, and I don't think she's getting 10. I don't know how it works over there. But
then the sad thing was, if this was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you can make an argument for it, but not what relations are with us in Russia, with what Russia is going through with the rest of the world. They're not bending over backwards for anybody anymore.
No, they're not. They're not going to send her home. They are not going to do us a favor. They're not going to do us a solid. And to be honest with you, I hate to bring this up, but and this is just the unfortunate situation. We shouldn't be bending over backwards to bring her back because she's a basketball player, when plenty of people around the world who aren't unnamed, who are not in the news, who aren't big stories, get arrested all the time for stuff like this, and they face the consequences, right? That's just like a Secretary of State. You are responsible for Americans overseas who are caught up in bad situations, maybe wrong situations. But in the end, there are plenty of people serving sentences in countries, American citizens, for crimes that they did commit. This is, I understand, everybody. I understand cannabis oil in a vape pen is not like she's smuggling in, 17 pounds of heroin into Moscow. I understand it. But that's not for us to decide. That's their law. Two things that's on her. There are two things that are on her. She didn't know the rules. She should have thought about that before she had a vape pen with cannabis oil in it. And two, I know she was going over there to play basketball, but this was a week before Russia invaded Ukraine when she went over there. She went over there a week before the invasion. Now, how many of you thought the invasion was a surprise? Raise your hand, unless you're driving, then don't. But how many of you thought it was a surprise? That was building up for weeks and weeks. They were amassing troops on the borders. We were talking about a possible Russia invasion of Ukraine for a while. What was she doing over there? Why wouldn't she just say, not this year? I'm not going over there. That's too volatile. I'm going to stay right here. All right? I don't need to go over there. I know they pay a lot of money over there, but I would have said, look, I'm an American. You're about ready to invade. Our country is opposed to that. I don't think it's going to be a good place for me. I ain't going. So don't go and don't bring cannabis oil in a vape pen to Moscow, because you're going to be facing these consequences. I'd love to have her home. I think Brittany Griner is one of America's best basketball stories, if not talent. She's got a great story. Champion in the Olympic, champion in the NCAA, all of that. But this, I just don't see a way for her. I don't think Russia's going to go, oh, we were just kidding. This is nothing. Go. They're not going to. I'm sorry. And by the way, here's the other thing, too. So she's coming out of the proceedings. I don't know when this picture was taken, but she's wearing a Jimi Hendrix shirt. Like, okay, we get it. We get it. We understand why you're there. Oh, goodness. Brittany Griner. I don't know where this... I want to follow this story now because I'm kind of interested in where this is going.
I'm curious, too. But I mean, But the sad reality is I kind of know where it's going.
Yeah, I know where it's going is right.
I mean, I know she's in trial right now. I mean, this is another thing that differs. I mean, could they have this wrapped up in an hour or two?
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know how, they don't have a right to a speedy and fair trial. This could this trial could be over in 10 minutes or this trial could last for 17 years. We don't know.
And you know what it is, too? Here's the other thing, and then I'll wrap this up. But I know, again, our attitude in certain things, right? When that young man in Singapore, whatever he did, I forget what it was, spitting or defacing some property, we thought, oh, my God, they're going to cane him for that. Countries hate when you bring your values into their culture. They hate it, right? This may seem like no big deal at all to us here in the United States, right? None. But over there, it's a law for a reason, right? That's the way they want to live. They want to live in a world where there is no tolerance for that. Fine. Same thing in Singapore with that young man. If that young man spit gum or did something, that's the way they want to live. That's their law. You're responsible for the laws, abiding by the laws of which country you go visit. And we say this a lot. You can't break into a bank because you can. You can't hijack a plane to show the plane company how easy it is to do it. You're committing a crime. You may want to show the world they're ignorant on something, but in reality, that's not your battle to fight. So go there, abide. That's how it works. And she didn't, and now she could be facing 10 years in prison, even if many of us over here think it's ridiculous. All right, again, Lee Ellis is going to join us at 40 past the hour. We're going to talk to him about Kevin Durant and wanting to leave Brooklyn, as well as other signings in the NBA. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Love to get your thoughts on a couple of things we've been talking about this morning. Kevin Durant wants out of Brooklyn. Lee Ellis will join us in about 12 minutes. We'll talk to him about that. That came out of nowhere. We were spending more time talking about Kyrie Irving's future in Brooklyn. Does he take the option? Do they offer a long-term extension? Does he get traded? And then he finally takes the option. I'm like, well, Kevin Durant must be relieved, right? Because Durant's not going anywhere, and he's going to want Kyrie at least on the team instead of nobody. Well, whoops, misread that.
And I, for me personally, I need to know how much truth there is to the rumor that the Lakers have a trade package that could send both Durant and Irving to the Lakers.
Right.
Because if that's the case, just blow up the franchise now.
I know, right?
I mean, why even wait for a game? Can you imagine those five on the floor together?
That'd be great. Oh, my God.
No, wouldn't?
No, it wouldn't be great. I mean, it would be like...
My God.
What do you mean great news? Like, wouldn't be great news to be...
Well, I would...
I'm trying to think of a word other than great mean magnanimous.
Let me take it back, because it wouldn't be... Russell Westbrook would have to be involved in that trade package.
Right, no doubt. No doubt. You gotta. He doesn't get to come into the party.
No.
But listen, as I was saying in hour number one, this is on every single person within that organization, including Kevin Durant, why this didn't work out. It's especially on Kyrie for making a mess of the chemistry on that team. Now, I've said many times, I'm going to keep repeating it, so just in case some of you have missed it. I was okay with Kevin Durant not getting the vaccine because I'm not going to force anybody to get a vaccine. I'm not going to sit here and tell somebody to inject something in their body so I can enjoy them playing basketball. But I do believe you pay the consequences of that, right? If it means you can't play in the Barclays Center, you can't play in the Barclays Center until they repeal that, and they did. But that means that your team is not going to have chemistry, and that's on you. All right. So when the team doesn't reach its goals, that's on you. If that's the hill you want to die on, then go ahead. Don't get the vaccine. But everything that comes around that team in terms of chemistry is going to be your fault. And it is. It is his fault. He didn't get the vaccine and they didn't live up to the potential. Kevin Durant, though, I'm going to say I wish he was a little bit more assertive into exactly what he wants. Now, I don't want to, again, blame people for personality traits they don't have. Some people like to be in the passenger seat. Some people like to drive the car. I don't think Kevin Durant likes to drive the car. I think, for example, when he went to Golden State, okay, a lot of people were saying, hey, you know what? That's great. He's going to Golden State but he's joining a team that's already building a championship. They're going to win again, and Kevin Durant's going to get his ring. But I think Kevin Durant saw it as, you know what? I'm also going to a team that's already got a leader, and I don't have to do that. It's already got a voice, and I don't have to be that. It's got guys on that team that are outspoken enough to get things done the way they want it, and I don't have to be that. And maybe he thought bringing Kyrie Irving into the mix in Brooklyn would relieve him of that duty, too. But I don't, because I never see him want, every single time he talks, he has some, like, he'll throw a little hint or two, but he's not vocal enough publicly for me to think that he wanted to say, hey, you know what, this is my basketball team, and this is what I want, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is what I think is going to be best as we put this together. Don't you agree, Sean Marks? Don't you agree, Steve Nash? Right? What? That guy doesn't seem to exist. It's Kevin Durant going, you know, I played really hard, and I don't want to be here anymore. Instead of, hey, you know what? Let's try to make this a better Brooklyn Nets team. I got Kyrie here. He's on a one-year deal. All right, let's make this work one more year. But as I said earlier, I think it's no surprise when they said, here's his wish list. You know who's on it? Miami and Phoenix. The two teams that finished number one in the East and the West. Really? No surprise there, front runner. Yeah, why don't you go join Jimmy Butler? Why don't you go join Devin Booker? Why don't you go join a team that's already built to win? Now, granted, if those teams want Kevin Durant, some of what making them winners today is going to get stripped a bit. Right? They're not getting Kevin Durant for a bunch of role players and future picks. Somebody's got to go to Brooklyn, right? I don't know who that is on the Phoenix side, and I don't know who that's going to be on the Miami side, but some critical component of their success is going over there. It's not going to be Devin Booker. It's not going to be Jimmy Butler, but it might be somebody that plays an important role in the success of that team. But for the love of Pete, way to steal the thunder on NBA free agency night. Yep, Kevin Durant doesn't want to be a Net anymore. So that experiment went kaput. So there goes that. But not really that surprising in the end. They just, you know, 3 years, injuries, again, COVID problems in terms of vaccine, just disappearing for personal reasons. Get James Harden. He doesn't want to be there. Now Kevin Durant doesn't want to be there. Every dream they had 3 years ago is vamanos. Goodbye. So we'll talk to Lee Ellis coming up about that. It is Bobby Bonilla Day. Congratulations to him, as the Mets will cut him a check for $1.2 million. They have been doing so since 2011, and they will do so since 2035. There was a deal that they struck back in 1999. He was owed $5.9 million. The Mets said, we pay it. Or his agent said, but I got a better idea. Why don't you do this? Why don't, starting in 11 years, why don't you pay him $2 million a year from that point all the way to 2035? And the Mets did the math and said, ooh, that's about $30 million. But you know what? Hey, we are making so much money on this Bernie Madoff guy, we'll just cut him a check from that. And then the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme fell apart, and the Mets are now still on the hook for the $1.2 million. But that's what Bobby Bonilla's agent worked out. They also give Brett Saberhagen some money. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the Max Scherzer gets a check from the Washington Nationals as well, and in a deferred payment deal. So it's a way these athletes are getting money paid in different ways. Scherzer's still playing. I mean, he actually pays for the Mets, and he's getting some deferred payments. So it's, if your agent can work that out, it's not a bad way to go. It depends, though, on the market. Sometimes you take that lump sum and you dump it into the market. And, you know, like Jordan Spieth one time said, he won $15 million or $10 million. $10 million. He won $10 million winning the FedEx Cup Championship back in like 2015. Young guy. And they asked him what he was going to do with the money. They were thinking a 21, 22-year-old kid would say, buy a yacht, 7 houses. He said, nope, I'm going to find an investment firm. I'm going to put it in that, and I'm going to watch it grow, 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 and grow until I retire. Yep, sometimes that works. Sometimes that works. Lee Ellis will join us next. We'll get to the bottom of all of this stuff with the NBA as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call
on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. Lee Ellis of The Athletic. We had to get him on, right? With this news about Kevin Durant, of course, NBA free agency. Help us kind of understand what's going to happen now as he joins us right here on Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. How are you, Lee?
Fine, thanks, Tony. How are you?
Good. Kevin Durant wants to leave Brooklyn. How surprising the news was this? Was there a feeling that he was actually going to request a trade?
Well, look, this was rumored sort of a week or so ago. Maybe not that he was going to ask out, but the Nets were maybe looking to move on. And so I think Kevin Durant maybe, look, we don't know those internal discussions, but if he said to them, are you guys looking to trade me? And they said yes. He said, all right, well, I want out too. Then I want to go somewhere else. Who knows exactly how these things break down? But I when I heard Joe Tsai, the owner, and Sean Marks say that they didn't want a repeat of what happened this season just gone, and that was the internal chaos and the drama that was with James Harden and Kyrie, and Kevin Durant was involved in that. I think everyone probably looking around the locker room saying, yeah, look, let's have a clean start here and try something else, because it was a pretty chaotic season, and it obviously ended in, you know, a very short playoff run. They only played four games and lost all of them. So now Kevin Durant has really just torched NBA free agency by saying, you know, it doesn't really matter where everyone else signs. Now, where is Kevin Durant going to land next?
So it would be like if I had a Ferrari and it was kind of breaking down and I needed it fixed, wouldn't it be better to fix the Ferrari than buy a Mazda? No offense to Mazda.
I mean, that's the thing. I think from where we stand, you know, that's what you would think. But from what I have now sort of garnered from Kevin Durant throughout his career is, he sort of needs to be feel like that he's totally loved by everyone in the organization. And if he doesn't, then he sort of feels like maybe he's slighted in some way, because the Golden State Warriors, remember, offered him $200 million to stay there. And he turned that down to go to Brooklyn, because I think he felt inside that even though he'd just won a couple of championships, he was a finals MVP there, the talk was like, yeah, but they're not real champion. I mean, they are. He doesn't have to validate his career to anybody, but I think there was a part of him that was like, I need to go out and get another championship here without being on the Warriors team. Because, look, he did kind of piggyback off that team, and he was a great player. He is a great player. He's a lock for the Hall of Fame, all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, I think he also realized, like, you know, I want to just go and get one without Steph Curry, without Draymond Green, without Klay Thompson, and just to sort of maybe silence some of the doubters and the critics. That's never going to happen with Kevin Durant, because he invites so much drama and criticism into his own life. And now I think he's there in Brooklyn. He's looking around, and I think he also looks at the Kyrie situation. He has no idea what he's going to get out of Kyrie each season. And he's decided, okay, it's time to try a different city and a different place. Now, this is different because he's not a free agent. When he left the Warriors, he was a free agent. When he left the Thunder, he was a free agent. Now he's got 4 years. He's guaranteed on that contract. So he doesn't have quite that same freedom to just say, right, I'm just going to sign with these guys or that team. The Nets have to find a team that actually can match his salary and then get some players and picks and things like that. So this one will be a lot more complicated than it has been in the past, where he's just decided to sign as a free agent with whichever team he chooses.
If this thing is kind of busted up and the Nets start all over and Durant's winning with somewhere else, and if we look back on this 3 years, and again, COVID was in the middle of it, I get that, but how much of the Kyrie situation will we go, man, that team could have won a championship, and that guy created problems with Durant, it created problems with Harden, consistency. How much does Kyrie's legacy fall on these 3 years where they just weren't the team we thought they were going to be?
Yeah, well, look, he's a very complicated character, because there's no question about his talent when he's out on the floor, but you just have to wonder what his energy is like in the locker room, what his vibe is like. That's what the buzzword is these days, because it certainly seems like Kyrie just dances to his own tune. And when he feels like playing, he's fantastic. But as we've seen over the last couple of seasons, there'll be times where he just says, you know what, I'm just not playing and I'm not going to play. He chose not to get vaccinated last season, which meant that he couldn't play. And he stood by that. And you heard James Harden, maybe not directly, but certainly in an indirect way, saying that he didn't want to play there because he didn't know what he was going to get out of his teammate. And I think that also affected Kevin Durant. I think it affected the relationship with Steve Nash. And so Yeah, Kyrie, now he obviously opted into his contract, so he's technically still a Brooklyn Net, but I think the chances of him staying on the Nets this season are very, very remote. They're going to try to move him on as quickly as they can too, but he's also like, I mean, who wants Kyrie and with that potential baggage that he brings? I mean, you want him to be the star on the court, but you just know that that's not the only thing you get with Kyrie. He can't just push that stuff to the side. So it's going to be fascinating. But look, if you're Brooklyn, I don't think this is the worst-case scenario, though, because you know, as I said, with Durant, with his big contract, you know you're going to get good young players back, and you're probably going to get some draft capital. And if you move on from Kyrie, then they could still be a good team next season with some good young talent there. I mean, the rumor that's out there that I think is probably the hottest at the moment is they might end up with DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges in return for Kevin Durant, and then if you can move off Kyrie, so that's not bad. That's good young talent in return. So Brooklyn aren't necessarily headed for a disaster season next season. They could choose draft capital, but they're just again, as I say, with Durant's contract, they're going to have to get some good players back in return to make those numbers work. So I think Brooklyn, if they've decided, okay, we tried it, we got the big three, it didn't work, let's move on. Well, you're going to get some good players back. And, I mean, they've got Ben Simmons. Who knows exactly what you get out of him? But he's a young guy under contract as well. So this is not like a complete disaster here for Brooklyn. I think once you realize you've come to the end of the run with a certain group, the quicker you move on and the quicker you can get back good young players, then that rebuild doesn't have to be a 4 or 5 year project.
All right, let's talk about some of the moves that were made yesterday. And this was brewing, and it was made official. Jalen Brunson goes from Dallas to the Knicks. He pretty much quadruples his salary, which is awesome for the young man. Jalen Brunson was interestingly, because when we were talking about Dallas, and we would say, like, when Dallas was struggling in the playoffs in their series, and we said, look, they got to get Jalen Brunson. It can't be all Luka. That's really a good testament to a guy who was the 33rd pick in the draft. Does Brunson make the Knicks that much better, though? Like, what does this do for New York?
Well, no, I don't think it makes them significantly better. I think it improves them. They Kemba Walker last season struggled to stay on the court. And when he was on the court defensively, he was pretty ordinary. So I think Brunson is an upgrade in that area. But again, it's not that much of an upgrade that you all of a sudden project the Knicks to finish in the top four in the Eastern Conference. Look, RJ Barrett, very good player, but he's certainly not a number one guy. And Julius Randle wasn't able to back up his season the year before, where he was most improved and he became an all-star. He was great. So the Knicks got better yesterday, but they're still missing that key piece, I think. And I think that, the Brunson, a little bit of an overpay, sure. They wanted to get a guy in there and they got him, but they've still got plenty of work to do, because I think they've got still a lot of holes in that roster. And, the big question, of course, is Mitchell Robinson. What are they going to do with him? They signed Isaiah Hartenstein from the Clippers there. So they obviously feel that Mitchell Robinson is good, but he's another one who struggles to stay on the floor. So they got better. They had to make this move. If you're Jalen Brunson, you know what you're getting yourself into going to New York. Like, they expect you to be immediately fantastic and immediately good from the start and sort of in that all-star conversation. Otherwise, it's going to turn pretty quickly on him. And I just wonder if he's going to look back at this move and think he was in a better situation in Dallas, where he didn't have the same expectations as he's automatically going to have there in New York, where, okay, maybe he's not the superstar player on the team. He's always going to be behind Luka. But again, going to New York, a franchise that we know gets a bit chaotic, very early into the season, if things aren't going their way, does the money compensate for that when you are leaving a situation in Dallas where your role and your ability there and your trust with the organization was pretty clear that they valued him as a good player, but he was never going to take over the number one spot from Luka.
All right, John Wall to the Clippers, didn't play with the Rockets last season, a year fresh. How does it help the Clippers?
Well, I mean, he desperately wants to play. He wanted to play there in Houston last season, and they sort of said, no, we'll try to trade you. But, of course, his contract was virtually untradeable at that point, because we just hadn't seen him out on the court. But if they can get the John Wall from anywhere from, 4 or 5 seasons ago, where he was still a decent player, this is a huge get for the Clippers. But, again, we just haven't seen him out on the court. So until we do, he's never going to be the all-star again. He's never going to be that sort of superstar player. But if you can just get a reliable guy out there who can, hit that mid-ranger, he can get inside, he's a good defensive player, then he's good for the Clippers. But it's so hard to really identify what type of player you're going to get, because his knees and his ankles have cost him so much of his prime years. that he just needs to get out there on the court and start playing again and having fun. So the Clippers, they obviously don't have tons of wiggle room themselves because of the Paul George contract, because of the Kawhi Leonard contract. So they have to just improve around the fringes. And they get a veteran in there who should be good. I mean, he should play alongside Reggie Jackson. So, you know, on paper, it's good. But just when a guy's missed so much time, it's hard to see him sort of slotting back in there and immediately ramping up to becoming the player that he used to be. And we remember, I mean, John Wall, one of the fastest players in the NBA. You're probably never going to see that speed again. But, you know, he was a very, very capable point guard for his prime years there in Washington. And the Clippers are hoping they just get, I guess, you know, 50 or 60% of that guy.
Who are we still waiting on? DeAndre Ayton's one of them, right?
Yeah, well, DeAndre
Ayton. And Zach LaVine?
Yeah. Zach LaVine's another one too, yeah. I think DeAndre Ayton's a big one because, you know, it's like, are the Suns going to sign and trade him, or are they going to just re-sign him? It's quite clear to me that the Suns don't want to offer him the max. And it seems also that DeAndre Ayton and his people are like, we're not accepting anything less than the max. So in that sense, I think the stalemate will present that the Suns say, okay, we'll sign you and trade you and get someone back in return because he's a good player. But maybe he hasn't quite taken that leap that they were hoping for. And I think as well, what maybe was actually bad for DeAndre Ayton this season was when they brought in Bismack Biyombo off the scrap heap, he actually played really well for them. JaVale McGee played well for them. So I think they maybe look and say, hey, listen, we've got Chris Paul, we've got Devin Booker, we've got Mikal Bridges for now. Maybe we don't need to invest a huge amount for a guy who you know, his numbers are modest at sort of 17 and 12 there. It's like, I'm not sure he is worth that supermax. So I wouldn't be surprised if DeAndre Ayton is traded at some point in the next few days because I just don't think he and the Suns are going to agree on a figure that's right for both of them to keep him in Phoenix.
Lee Ellis, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much for helping us break down what we had yesterday, especially the big news on Durant.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Lee Ellis, again from The Athletic, host of the No Dunks podcast. Check that out. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the hour as Wake Up Call continues.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We get you ready for the weekend coming up. Ron and I are off on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday. Hot dog eating contest and 4th of July on Monday. So enjoy that, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. You know, I'm late to this story, Ron, but I just re-saw it, and I said, oh, I meant to talk to you about this. It has nothing to do with sports, but it has everything to do with a good deed done by one of our own. Did you hear about that story about John Cena going to see the Ukrainian child?
No.
In Europe? I'm late to the story. This was a while back. But I just saw something that reminded me of that. So, and I know you and I never talked about it. So there was this woman in the Ukraine, and she had an autistic child, and she needed to get out of where she was, you know, she had to evacuate, and her child didn't understand what was going on, and she couldn't really deliver the news. She didn't want to scare him, so she kind of got him like, all right. So she told him, she says, we have to leave because we're going to go see John Cena. So it's the only way she get him to sort of cooperate. So she told him, we're going to leave and we're going to go see John Cena. So that's, as they maneuvered their way out, they landed, I think, in Amsterdam. And John Cena found out that was the tactic that she had to use to get her son out of a war-torn area of her country. And he went to go see the young man.
Awesome.
Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
Like, what a great story. So, the mother didn't think like, well, how am I going to explain to him when I get out that John Cena's not coming?
No, I just got to
really
get out.
I just got to get out. Like, once we get out, I can deal with that later, but I got to get him out of here. And John Cena made it. It's kind of like it's
can't have the mom lie.
You can't have the lie, right?
Exactly. That's all he was thinking. Like, I can't have her be a liar.
Yeah. So I saw something on John Cena. It was completely different. Maybe it was a movie or something. I just saw it and I was reminded. Oh, I never talked about
or the
that
joke
story
that you can't see him.
Yeah. Right. Or that. But yeah, what a great story. I think if you're a mega star like that and you're like children love you and you're whether you're an athlete or an actor, or wrestler, or whatever it is that you do, and you know children love you, don't you think you got to have a team of people that scour the earth for stories like this? Like, just in case you missed it and you're like, oh, I, you know, find me these stories. Just search me out any way you possibly can. So if I find a story like this, I'm gonna move heaven and earth to go find that person and go visit him and give him all sorts of gear and all the love in the world. So that was a really, really good story. So I don't know. It was kind of touching. You know what I mean? It was kind of touching. So there you go. So again, happy Bobby Bonilla Day today. Happy birthday to sports radio today.
That's right.
Yeah, WFAN launching on this date, 1987, a format they did not think would work. Some people did, obviously. But look where we are now in the business. It's kind of wild. Really cool. So I'm glad for that. But coming up through the weekend, we got more free agency in the NBA coming up. We got...
Oh, and again, you just know something crazy is going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, without a shadow of a doubt.
It's interesting that Lee was... He was a lot more kinder to Kevin Durant than I was. He was like, well, it's possible Brooklyn said we'd probably trade you. And he said, well, I guess I don't want to be here anymore. Whereas I'm more like, Kevin Durant just looked around and went, this is a beep show and I'm on. I want out of here as fast as I possibly can.
Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't help it. I mean, you put together this team that is supposed to just rock the world and within 3 years it's dismantled and the three main components didn't even play a full season together.
It's weird. It feels like the creation of the super teams, like, they're not working like we thought they would. What instead is you get a team like Golden State that sort of built it up, Toronto that built it up, but like LeBron got one title when he tried to create one in Cleveland. They got two when there were supposed to be seven in Miami. LeBron did get one in L.A. with Anthony Davis, but, you know,